Welcome to The Vault. Over Pastor Hal's 60 years of ministry, we at Life Ministry Church were blessed to hear some amazing sermons and teaching series. As God's word is timeless, the principles behind these messages still apply for today. We hope and pray that these messages will bless you as much as they did when Pastor Hal first delivered them.
Well, time's beaten us today, hasn't it? I'm going to briefly bring the word that's on my heart this afternoon. I want to talk to you about trusting God. Let's pray. Now, Father, we live in a generation when people don't trust God, when even many of your own church have difficulty in really trusting you. My prayer this afternoon is we just quickly glance in your word on the subject, that you might help us, and guide us, and give us direction, and quicken us to trust you in all things, for we pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We live in a day when God hides himself. Isaiah 45 and verse 15 says, "Truly, thou art a God who hideth thyself." And yet, down through the ages, he shows himself to his people, as in times of old and so today. Back there when he opened the Red Sea, when he put the plagues upon Egypt, when he brought manna every morning for them, when he brought water out of that rock, when he opened the Jordan for them, and in so many other ways. I believe that it's exactly the same today, that whilst we still have a God who hides himself so that we can't see him physically or personally, he still exhibits himself in exactly the same way. And all of us have just experienced 15 years to 20 years of a real outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the charismatic renewal. I've been right through that. The assembly was functioning when it started in the early 60s, and now that outpouring has lifted, we've come through it and we've experienced the whole of that great outpouring of God, an outpouring that tipped the church upside down worldwide. Millions of people, Catholics and Protestants, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, had their lives changed, the Word of God opened to them, quickened in their spirits towards the things of God. So God still shows himself in mighty acts of power, even as he did back in those Old Testament days. And God proves himself in other matters than great outpourings. He proves himself, for instance, in the witness of the Holy Spirit we have within us, that he is with us. He proves himself to us in the outworking of his word in our lives. He proves himself to us with the doors that he opens. He proves himself to us by the circumstances that he brings to pass in our lives, that his purposes might be fulfilled in us. He proves himself by the judgments that he is at this present moment bringing upon this old world system in which we live. And some of them are very severe judgments that we are seeing. So Mark 16 and verse 17 says, "These signs shall follow them that believe," them who can trust in God. Signs will follow to the unbeliever, to the doubter, to the one who is uncertain. Then those signs will always be treated with cynicism. But to those who trust God, they will be real, and we shall see signs following. I personally have seen so many signs following those who believe in my ministry. And I don't believe we can ever live a satisfactory life, can ever have a satisfactory walk in God, unless we truly trust God and trust him not only when his presence is with us, for that's so easy, but when the skies seem as if they're brass, when it seems as if God doesn't exist, when it seems as if pressure is upon us and the draw of that old world is so strong. Even then, if we will trust God, we will find we'll always come through. And that which has been barren will spring forth into life once again. Now, there are some false trusts. Very quickly, I want to deal with a few of these false trusts, because most people today put their trust in something else than God. And the Bible talks about these things and warns us of them. Let's take six examples. There are many more. Psalm 20. If you're going to turn up, you're going to have to turn up quickly. If you're a quick turner, turn with me. It's always good to read the word together. These are false trusts. Psalm 20, verse 7 and 8. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. When we read of the horses and chariots, we're talking of warfare, of course. And here's the trust that man puts in the strength of the tanks and the planes and the artillery and the armies and the nuclear weapons he's got. But God says some trust in those things, but those who trust in the name of the Lord will stand upright.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Secondly, Psalm 52, 7 and 8. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength. You read it again. This is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengtheneth himself in his wickedness. Man who trusts in riches, because he's rich in the material things of this world, feels he has no need to trust God. What a deceit that is, when distress and turmoil and tragedy and crisis strikes, we find our riches are as nothing. Psalm 146. And Psalm 146, verse 3, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. Don't look to high-ranking people or men at all. Look to God, for in him is where your real trust is. Certainly not in princes. Proverbs 28, verse 25 and 26. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Talking of a proud heart, trusting in your own heart, in your own wisdom, in your own desires, in your own direction, pushing the things of God to one side that you might go in your pride the way you want to go. God says that man is a fool. And one day, of course, will fall. Isaiah 31. And verse 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Just leave it there. Egypt always, of course, talks of the world. Woe to the person who goes down to the world for help. For help is not to be found in the world. Help is to be found in our God. Some people trust in the wisdom of this world for everything. Isaiah 47, the last one, 8 to 10. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. Verse 9, But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. There's a very solemn scripture warning those who dwell carelessly, who say in verse 8 that there's none beside me. Really, I believe, talking of people who, again, are full of pride, full of their own wisdom, full of their way. I know the way. Things of God are not for me. I know the way to go. Those people will know great distress finally, as the inevitable laws of God just work out in their circumstances. So I've said to you so often, it's not God leading over the bulwarks of heaven with a whip and whipping you when you do something wrong. It's just that you suddenly begin to swim upstream, and when you become exhausted, which you soon do, then you drown. It's as simple as that. There are some of the false trusts. Let's talk very briefly. I would have liked to have opened each one of those up. Let's talk very briefly about true trust. For true trust is not in material things. It's always in our God. Psalm 37 and verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. I wish we had time to discuss all these. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And Proverbs 3, and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean unto this. This is understanding. This is wisdom. This is truth. Your understanding is perverted by the fallen generations in which we live. Your and my understanding is as nothing compared with the understanding of the Word of God. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust God. However impossible the situation seems, however difficult it might seem to you. Now, I want to finish by telling you that God always tests our faith. God always tests our trust in him. And I want to look at six ways of many in which he will test your trust in him. None of us keep going on with God seriously committed without being tested. Not one of us. Number one, he demands great sacrifice at times. We won't turn it up, but in Genesis 22 verse 1 and 2 you all know the story of how Abraham was told to take his only begotten, that miraculously born son Isaac, only begotten of Sarah, up the mount and sacrifice him to God. What a sacrifice for that man, beyond our understanding. What a man of faith that he was willing to do it. Secondly, he leads at times in a difficult way. I'm going to read something out of Deuteronomy 8 in a moment. He leads in a difficult way. He put the children of Israel for 40 years into that wilderness and kept them there 40 years. And Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2, 3 and 16 tell us why. Verse 2, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness for four reasons. One, to humble thee. Two, to prove thee. Three, to know what was in thine heart. Four, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. 40 years in that wilderness, God tested his people and found them wanting. and let that old generation die in the wilderness, as the Bible says, their bones bleached in the wilderness. Exactly the same for us. We are not faithful to God, our bones will bleach in the wilderness, the same as theirs did, only ours will be spiritual. Verse 16, second half, he did all that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good in thy latter end. Isn't that good to know? God's going to do you good in your latter end. Praise God. Number three. He gives us opportunity sometimes to choose. These are tests. I'm dealing with tests of your trust in God. In 1 Kings 3 and verse 5, we won't look at it. He gave Solomon the opportunity to choose whatever he wanted. Solomon could have chosen material things. He could have had anything he wanted. God was testing him. He didn't tell him that. Solomon chose wisely. He wanted the wisdom of God. This is when God tests our pride, our selfishness, our greed, when sometimes he lets us make the choice. Fourthly, by setting hard, sometimes impossible tasks. John 6 and verse 5 and 6, Jesus said to the disciple, feed the multitude. Thousands of people there, he told them to feed them. Impossible task to that disciple. Number five, by permitting you to suffer when you are serving him. Acts 16. I'm going to read a little bit of this one to you. Verse 23 and 24. When they had laid many stripes upon the disciples, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. Permitting the disciples to suffer in the course of serving God. Seems hard, doesn't it? Number six. By permitting temptation. God permits temptation to come upon us to test us as to whether we'll stand upright and clean and pure before his face in the midst of great temptation. James 1, verse 1 and 2. Let's just quickly give you those headings again as I come to a close. First, he demands great sacrifice. These are the tests of your trust in God. Secondly, he leads us at times in a very difficult way. Thirdly, he gives us sometimes the opportunity to make a choice ourselves, to test how we will choose. Fourthly, by setting hard, even impossible tasks. Fifthly, by permitting you to suffer even whilst you are serving him. And sixthly, by permitting temptation to come upon you. So I conclude with 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, shall be exposed. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. This, of course, is at the coming of the Lord. That word try there means to test, to prove, to examine. Every one of us here is going to have our walk with Christ tried, tested, proved, examined at the day of the Lord. And either our work will be burnt as hay and stubble and wood, or we will be as precious stones and stand that test. Verse 14 says, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Brethren, let's break down the barriers and the obstacles, the doubts, the uncertainties. Even this afternoon, as we've had such a short time to look at this word, Let's determine within our spirit, within our inner man, that despite the uncertainties of the intellect, despite the thoughts that come in from the world and from the intellectuals of the world, that we are going to become as little children, and we're going to trust our God, who created all things and who created you and has given you within your spirit the capacity to trust him. May God bless his word to us.